History, and I hope that these, you know, they are to me, I'll say it this way, I hope that these are an encouragement as we study these men and women in history, encouragement and really an example to us of some of the things that they go through or they've gone through, and it's easy to sometimes think we're alone in this, in our life and the Christian warfare. And so it's good to hear these stories. And this morning we're going to talk about a man named John Jasper. And John Jasper was born into slavery on July 4th, 1812. Interesting birthday. And he was never privileged to attend school. He used his native eloquence, though, as few ever have. And in time, Jasper became one of the greatest preachers of his day. Literally tens of thousands were swayed by his preaching. There are stories of I read several stories like this of people who came to ridicule him because of his lack of, you know, English grammar and his lack of education. And by the end of his sermons, they would be standing weeping at the altar. And just a tremendous man of God. And we can't present the story as we have because of time, but or present his entire story because of time, but we'll try to give you a brief sketch of his really amazing life. Hopefully it'll be an inspiration to you. As I said, John was born into slavery in 1812. He was the 24th child of Philip and Tina Jasper. And his dad was also a slave and a lay minister. His dad, though, died just a few months before he was born. And his mother, Tina, she was a godly woman, and she prayed that God would make her son a preacher as his father had been. And she named him after John the Baptist, and that's why his name is John. And so for many years, though, it seemed like her prayers would not be answered. He had no interest in spiritual things. I think that one of the events, or maybe the event, that started his decline into sin was that he had fallen in love with a girl from a neighboring plantation. They were going to get married. In fact, one account says they were married. And on the day that they were married, or the day they were going to be married, either one, there was a slave uprising. And the masters split everything up, and they separated them. John never saw her again. And in deep bitterness because of that event, he really began to slide into evil living. He was rebellious. He was constantly in trouble with his owners. And at one point, his owner, or I should say at this point in his life, his owner was a man named Samuel Hargrove. And Samuel Hargrove is an interesting man. He was a saved man. He was a deacon in the First Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. And Hargrove used John in his warehouses there on the plantation. And it was while he was working in the warehouses at one point, his mother had been praying for him, and God began to bring conviction. And in July of 1839, according to his story, he said he was stricken with God's arrow of conviction. And later he would say, "I was seeking God 6 weeks just because I was such a fool, I couldn't see the way." And he prayed there that day at work, asked God to save him. And just joy came over him. He began to shout for joy for what God had done for him. His overseers came running to see what the matter was, and then they're trying to quiet him down so he doesn't get everybody riled up. But at the same time, Hargrove was happening by, and Hargrove heard what had happened. He brought him into his office and had him share his testimony with him. And Hargrove was impressed, of course, and felt that God had, you know, had saved the man. And he gave him the rest of the day off to share his testimony with his friends and family. A few months later, in 1840, he was baptized. And 30 days later, he was licensed by his church, the Old African Baptist Church there in Richmond, to preach. And at that point, Hargrove, seeing that God's hand was on this young man, gave him his freedom. And John Jasper wouldn't stop preaching for over 60 years. Now, this is a different day. Of course, this is pre-Civil War, and so some of the things I'll describe, we don't understand. We're not used to some of this, but black men were not allowed to preach in white churches unless they had somebody with them, another white pastor. And John got around that he decided that he would spend his early ministry preaching at funerals. And so he did, and he would preach at funerals, both white and black funerals, and God's power was very evident, and people began to hear about this young man and his preaching and how that God was using him, and people would flock from all over who didn't even know the deceased person, just to hear him preach at the funeral. And so God, the very presence of God was evident in these funeral orations, and his pointed preaching. He was not afraid to preach anything, and didn't care who he offended. He would preach what God told him to preach. And for that reason, I think God blessed it, and God blessed his preaching, and people came from all over to hear him preach. Well, he had this initial problem was that he wasn't educated, and he couldn't read. And another slave, actually, William Johnson, took almost 2 years and taught him out of the Bible and out of the New York Speller how to read. And so the idea was because he had to be able to read the Bible, and so then after that he was able to read, and through the help of this friend William Johnson. As I said, you know, things are a little different in this day, obviously, and the restrictions on black preachers, because this is pre-Civil War, and how they couldn't preach just anywhere, and even though he was a free man. But there was a church in Petersburg, Virginia, which is a few miles south of Richmond. It was a white church, and they asked Jasper to come preach twice a month at their church. It's interesting. Someone said, kind of in humor, but it was true, that other churches in the area noticed a marked decline in their attendance on those Sundays as they went to that church to hear him preach. And during the Civil War, he traveled among the camps of the Confederate soldiers and preached to those men that were on the battlefield. He also preached in the hospitals around Richmond to those soldiers, the Confederate soldiers that were in the hospitals. After the war, around 1867, he founded the Sixth Mount Zion Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. It still stands as a picture of it. The church began with 9 members. In a few years, there were over 1,000 members, and when Pastor Jasper died, there were over 3,000 members in his church. Dr. William Hatcher, who was a pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Richmond, a very influential church there in Richmond, they became very close personal friends. And Pastor Hatcher, Dr. Hatcher, spent hours and hours teaching the former slave about the things of God. Really, this was his Bible college, and just spent years teaching him from the Bible and the things of God. And he loved to hear this disciple of his, this young man, this man, Jasper, preach. He found every opportunity to go hear him. When someone criticized once Hatcher, who was a very learned man, for going to hear the nearly illiterate slave, Hatcher said this. He said, "I do not go there to listen to Pastor Jasper's English. I go there to hear him talk about his Jesus." And Jasper's over and over, in his messages, talked about his love for his former owner, Sam Hargrave, and Dr. Hatcher, and their impact on his life. But Weiss would flock to preach, to hear him preach, as I said, and he was never afraid to preach his convictions, no matter who was in the congregation. He had a great sense of humor also. One time, the entire state legislature of Virginia came to hear him preach in Richmond, and he was preaching about Moses in Egypt, and at one point he cried out, "Pharaoh is an awful liar, just like they tell me most politicians are." And great, great sense of humor, and not afraid to preach God's word. And Dr. Hatcher wrote a biography of him named John Jasper, the unmatched philosopher and preacher. And Hatcher begins a biography of Jasper by knowing that he was one of a class, without pedigree and really without successors. And the conclusion that Hatcher came to in his book was that he was a valiant, heroic old man. He stood in his place and was not afraid. He gave his message in no uncertain words, and he scourged error wherever it exposed its front. And he said this, he says, he stood sentinel over the word of God and was never caught sleeping at the post. And John Jasper died on March 28th, 1901, and at his funeral, Dr. Hatcher said this, he said, "Every motion of his was made to exalt the Lord of his life." And we thank the Lord this morning for this kind of unknown man, you know, 150 years later, but a great man of God in the latter half of the 1800s. And we'll thank the Lord this morning for Pastor John Jaspers.